the Lord. And so thank you, though, for your prayers for Traveling Mercies. And I missed being with you last Sunday, but I know that you were thinking about and praying for us. And we remained in spirit one, even as we were gone last week. So thank you for that. But in the previous 2 weeks, we had begun a series that I've entitled Engaging the Culture, and believing this to be one of the most pressing questions for us today in the midst of a culture and a society that is changing by the day, it seems, changing rapidly, and to the point that sometimes our culture, our society seems, you know, scarcely recognizable to the kind of place that many of you grew up in, and even the things that I have seen and experienced throughout my life. Things are changing all around us, and the question of the hour is, how do we engage? What do we do? How do we respond to our culture as Christians living in the world, but not of the world? And that's kind of to use Jesus' word, sort of in a nutshell, kind of what this series is about. How to be in the world and engaging the world, but not to be of the world. I want to speak today in the title of our message today, which is not in the bulletin, but I'll give it my own title here, is Every Member on Mission. Every member on mission. What would it look like for us individually and us as a church, every one of us, to be engaged in the work of extending the mission of Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit? So let me read, though, as I would get started here, a statement to you from our denomination. Now, our church, we redid our mission and vision statements last year. But our denomination, likewise, in about the same time, also came up with a new mission and vision. I'm just going to read the mission to you, and it's just one sentence. This is our denomination, the EPC mission statement. The Evangelical Presbyterian Church exists to carry out the Great Commission of Jesus as a denomination of Presbyterian, Evangelical, Reformed, and missional congregations. We're Presbyterian, we're Evangelical, we are of the Reformed sort of branch of the tree, so to speak. But the EPC has added this, that we are also seeking to be missional. And that's the word that I want to camp out on this morning. What would it mean? What does it mean for us and for our church as a part of the EPC also, like our other churches and congregations? What would it mean for us to be missional? Now, that's a word that oftentimes is used so often and by so many people in such a variety of ways that it's almost become kind of a confusing term, maybe even a trendy term. I hear this term so much these days, but let me try to sort of unpack that and condense that into the parts that are important for us to understand. What does it mean for when our denomination says we desire to be missional, to carry out the Great Commission of Jesus? First of all, what we are recognizing in this term missional is that we live in a society that more and more is post-Christian. This is more true of some areas in our country than in other areas. We still, to some degree, have enclaves of Christendom, remnants, Christian sort of pockets, if you will, in this country, which makes us a little different and more unique from, say, Europe. But in many ways, like Europe, other parts of our country are increasingly becoming post-Christian. Part of what that means is that Christianity is more and more sort of on the periphery of society. Or another way of putting it is, we have lost, as Christians, we have lost our privileged place we'd experienced for so long of being sort of the arbiters of truth and public morality. We no longer have the sort of the pulpit, if you will, to encourage and to speak into our culture about what morality, what truth is, and what morality is all about. We've lost our privileged place and our pulpit to be able to do that. It also means that people aren't going to be coming to church so much out of custom or out of social pressure. Those things aren't in place anymore. And so increasingly, we're going to need to be a people who are going out, relying less on a come and see approach and more on a go and be approach and engaging people out there on that turf, so to speak. We're not waiting for people to just, because it's the thing to do, to come to our church. So sometimes that's going to happen, but less and less so. What it means for us to be missional, it means that we're going to have to take the gospel message, which is unchanging and unchangeable, the universal, the yesterday, today, and forever truth of the gospel, but we're going to need to package that or to translate that in ways that are comprehensible to our culture. We will be able to rely less and less on our sort of Christianese and our sort of tribal language that we're used to using and being able to get away with, and just assuming that people understood what we meant by sin and grace and justification. Those terms cannot be assumed anymore. We are going to need to be more and more, not just students of God's Word, as we've hopefully always been, but students of our culture. What is it like out there, as it were? How is our culture operating? What are their dreams? What are the aspirations? What are the ideals? What are the priorities? What are the things that our culture is after? What causes them to what floats their boat? We need to be thinking about how we take the gospel message and translate it into words that are going to be understandable to a culture that less and less even knows the gospel. To be missional means for us to understand, as I mentioned a minute ago, that we are those who are sent. We are sent ones. We are those who have been blessed, but as it says in Genesis 12, like with the passage there speaking about Abraham, God said, Abraham, you are blessed in order that you might be a blessing. And missional is all about figuring out, okay, we've been very blessed by the Lord, by His grace, by His truth, but what does it mean for us then to be a blessing to other people? Not relying solely on an attractional model, but how do we equip ourselves as lay people to go forth and to engage? In Christendom, churches could primarily just sort of focus on teaching, you know, sort of basic skills of prayer and of Bible study, basically skills that you would use in your own sort of private life, and those things remain today. I'm not saying that that changes any. But now that we live in a more radically non-Christian sort of society, and public life and the values in public life have changed so much, we are going to need to be, as people, equipped to discern our culture, to discern what practices in our culture are okay and what things should be rejected, how to navigate in our culture today. Another thing that we'll need to be thinking about as missional people, as a missional congregation, is what will it mean for our church to be a contrast community? A community of people that, in the visible quality of our love for each other, stands out in this world in a way that people notice it. Jesus said in John chapter 17 that when we are loving one another as Christ loved us, when we are showing that kind of sacrificial love to each other and we are united in the church, that the world will believe that God has sent His Son Jesus when they see the love that we have for each other and as we pour out that love for them. As they see our love for them, serving the community, doing justice, not only speaking God's word and truth, but also demonstrating goodness in our deeds. Jeremiah, we looked at Jeremiah chapter 29, and Jeremiah was speaking to us in terms of being in exile. And again, I'll adopt that sort of metaphor. We are in exile. But as Jeremiah said to the people then, you're in exile, but you are seeking the peace and the prosperity of the city. And so likewise also are we. We are seeking the peace and the prosperity of our community. There is not we are different from the world, but it is not an us versus them. It is us taking the love of Christ out to them and seeking the peace and the prosperity of our communities and seeking to redeem our culture, showing them all the while the love that we have for each other. One last thing to mention about being missional is that the distinction that we are more and more going to need to make is the distinction between the church and the culture, the world in which we live. 50 years ago, the distinction that needed to be made was distinctions among denominations. The key thing then was, well, what's so different about First Presbyterian from First Methodist from First Baptist? And those distinctions were a little bit more important. They're still important. But the more important distinction for us is, what is different between the church, all of us, and the world? And how are we going to engage it? It's going to mean that Brainerd Presbyterian is not just working with other EPC churches, but also other churches in this area. Not just showing unity among ourselves, but unity among congregations and working together in mutual support, all of us as Christians in this community, to reach out to our community. Those are the distinctions that will need to be made. So this is a little bit about, to condense just volumes of stuff that's out there and all kinds of talk about missional. That's hopefully in a nutshell what we mean by and what our denomination means when they encourage us that we also be missional. As I was saying in, I think, the first sermon in this series, our context here and our culture has changed pretty significantly. And we find ourselves in a very new place. We find ourselves, as we preached on 1 Peter a couple weeks ago, as aliens and strangers in the world, living in a kind of exile type experience. But though it's new, maybe, and it feels like we're in unfamiliar territory for us now, and we're no longer in Kansas, and we feel like we're in Oz, and it feels different to us, and it feels unfamiliar, and it is. But I want to encourage you that the church down through the ages has oftentimes found itself very much on the outside of its culture, sometimes even persecuted by its culture. And we can take some heart and take some encouragement, particularly this morning, from the early church. In the early church, they grew at a significant rate and a significant pace, even though the culture around them was not always welcoming and sometimes downright opposing the church. But it has been estimated that the early church grew 40% per decade for nearly three centuries. Think about that for a minute. That the church grew at nearly 40% per decade for three centuries. And that was before Constantine. That was before Christianity was accepted. That's before it became an officially sort of recognized or welcomed religion. The church was growing even in the midst sometimes of some very hostile environments. But the church grew for a number of reasons. Acts chapter 2, for example, gives us some good ideas, some good reasons why. The church was devoted to fellowship. They were loving each other. They were generously giving to one another and to those that had need. They were showing concern for the weak. There was an attractive quality to their Christian lives. They were a loving community, and they also showed integrity in the face of persecution, among other things. These things made the church, made Christ attractive to those around them. And the same thing will be true of us today. None of this has changed, the ways that God uses us to impact a culture. The other thing, though, that I believe most Christians early on understood is that they realized and knew that they were all, and all of us are, informal missionaries. That's a term that Tim Keller uses, and I'm going to borrow him a little bit here this morning. But informal missionaries. Every Christian was expected to preach the gospel. I'm not here to give us a Greek lesson this morning, but the word in the New Testament for to evangelize, euangelizo, could also be, if we could put it into different terms, could also be translated gospel eyes. They understood that their role and their calling was to gospelize the people around them. And I want to encourage us this morning to be thinking about how each one of us is a missionary, gospelizing others, and then following up and nurturing other people in that faith. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 tells us, and this was as a result of persecution, that those who had been scattered, the Christians who had been scattered, preached the word wherever they went. Being on mission, being missional, is about us preaching the word, gospelizing people wherever we go. One of the ways that this happened in the early church was, in the primary way, I would say, was through relationships. The developing of relationships with people around them. Now, oftentimes Christianity spread in households. If you had sort of, as it were, the head of the household become a believer, that meant that their wife, their kids, their servants, those under their household also became believers. And Christianity spread greatly by those means. But Christianity also spread not just in the home, but through the home. In other words, people in the early church, as we look at the book of Acts, they were reaching people not just in the gathered corporate worship times, but they were, as they scattered, reaching people in their daily relationships. And oftentimes using the home as the vehicle to do so. We read, for example, in Acts chapter 5, that the home, people's homes were used for the teaching and the instruction in God's word. Acts chapter 10, we have an example there in Cornelius, the story of Cornelius, how they were oftentimes in the church would plan presentations of the gospel in the homes for their friends and for their neighbors. Acts chapter 12, we see examples of prayer meetings that met in people's homes. We have example, Acts 16, of impromptu evangelistic gatherings that happen in homes. We have examples in Acts chapter 18 of follow-up sessions with inquirers, people who had heard the message of Paul, and then later on the other said, hey, would you like to talk about that a little bit further? Why don't you come over to my home and let's discuss that. Acts chapter 20, we have an example of evenings that were devoted just to instruction and to prayer. And then to fellowship, we have numerous examples in the book of Acts of fellowship. We have examples all over the place in Acts of house churches. Lydia in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, Jason, his house in Acts chapter 17. There are three or four other examples I could give you this morning. But in other words, there was activity that was going on outside of the formal gatherings of the church. Informal relationship building outside of the church, oftentimes in the home. Again, to remind us, the early church grew 40% per decade for three centuries. There might be some things for us to learn and to glean from the experience of the early church, particularly in the book of Acts, for what it will mean for us to engage our culture. Let me ask us to think just really for a few minutes, in really practical terms, what would it mean for us today, for you and for me, to be on mission, every one of us on mission? Let me mention to you a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he said, that you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. As we think about what it means for us to be on mission, I read this passage to you to remind us that our lives need to be an open book, or as Paul would say, an open letter, known and read by everyone who ever sees you and me. We are, in our lives, we have the Holy Spirit who writes not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. God has written his truth and has written his gospel into your life and imprinted that on your heart to be lived out in your life so that everyone that sees you and everyone that sees me sees the gospel. We gospelize people not just by sharing the gospel with them, but by showing and demonstrating in our lives the reality of the gospel. So as we think about being missional, we're ultimately thinking in terms of how can I show and demonstrate the gospel like an open book for people to read so that they can see what it looks like to be lived out in somebody's life. So what would every member on mission look like today? First of all, you and I would be in some ways just like other people in our culture. When we talk about being different, I didn't say that we needed to be weird, but we need to be different. We're not unlike our neighbors, though, in the sense that we like to eat where they like to eat. We like to go where they go. We have the same general appearance that people in our culture do. We like the same sort of recreational activities. We do the same kinds of cultural things. We have the same sort of work experiences they do. I didn't say that we needed to be weird when it comes to reaching our culture. In fact, it would be refreshing for people to realize that Christians, in many ways, are very normal people. They like to watch the Cubs play the Mets on Saturday night, right? Okay. We do normal things, but we are unlike the culture in other ways. We have, hopefully, prayerfully, a high degree of integrity. We are people who have generous and sacrificial lives. We are fair with others. We show hospitality. We show sympathy for those who are in need and those who are grieving. We are those who are forgivers of others. We have a high degree of sexual purity in our lives. And we also show the world how to respond to trials and to adversity. We are very different, and yet in some ways very like the people that we're trying to reach. But what does it look like for us to engage, to be engaging, to be in the world but not of the world? What I want to remind us about today and make the case for today is that our initial point of contact with people is no longer going to be primarily in church, but out there. And what will that look like? Well, one thing it might look like is for you and I to frequent the same establishments so that we can have an ongoing regular contact with the people there in those establishments. So we go to the same restaurants in order that we might see some of the same patrons, the same clients, the same manager, the same waitress every week. Those are places of influence for us. We might also think about the kinds of recreational things we do or the kinds of clubs that we are part of. I was thinking this morning with the 9 o'clock gathering about, for example, a biking club. You know, oftentimes we have sort of, if you will, a secular kind of, you know, let's say a mountain biking club. And what we do as Christians, though, is that we form then a Christian version of the mountain biking club. Now, wait a minute. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But what if we joined the clubs that are already in existence, other non-believers that like things that we like, and we brought a Christian influence to them? I was mentioning again at 9 o'clock, I said, guys, how many of us would like to be at a men's softball team? I had a few people raise their hand. Anybody here at this crowd? I think it'd be great to do a men's softball. Now, the question would be, do we form a team and then join an existing Christian softball league? Or maybe do we join another softball league that has some non-Christians in it and we bring our influence there? Or if we are going to have a Christian softball team, that we make sure that each one of us is inviting a friend, not part of this church, maybe not even a believer in Christ, and they come and they play softball with us so that they can see what it looks like when brothers in Christ play together. Right? Just trying to whet our, you know, appetite or our thinking here this morning about what it looks like for us to be engaging. We have a fall festival coming up at the end of this month. Great place to connect with people in our community that are interested in taking their kids and doing fun activities and trick-or-treating just like we are with our kids. There are opportunities for us to engage in the local school here at East Brainerd Elementary, to be involved in neighborhood associations, hang out with people that you see at the YMCA. I had a guy that I'm thinking about, a guy named Don, that I see about once a week. I don't get to the Y as much as I need to, but when I am there, there's a guy named Don. Well, Don's a guy I need to be praying about that. Use me to maybe reach him. There are lots of ways that we could think about here this morning. Is there somebody that you know that they could benefit from a book or maybe an audio recording of something that might help them to think through what the faith of Jesus, in faith in Jesus Christ might look like for them? Let me give you just one example, and we need to wrap things up. One example that Tim Keller actually supplies us with. He said, so for example, there's a guy named Ted, and he's a young single lawyer. And he knows several other lawyers who go to church with him, though they don't work for his firm. He decides to have a Super Bowl party for several of his non-Christian colleagues and invites two Christian lawyers from church and a couple of other believers as well. And the men and women from his workplace hit it off with the lawyers from church. About 3 months later, one of them shows up in church with one of Ted's friends. Kind of sort of relational, sort of organic, natural, spontaneous relationship, the kinds of things that that we can be thinking about as well. I'm going to use this pulpit mic because I'm not sure what's going on with that. So here's my final encouragement to us. There's some other things I need to leave off today. When the people of God, when you and I, when we are not passive, but rather are active in assuming personal responsibility for producing ministry, not just consuming, and bringing a Christian example and a Christian faith into the lives of our neighbors and friends and colleagues in our community, then the results can and will be dynamic. Let me just borrow one more thing from Tim Keller. He estimates in his experience of doing a lot of missional work in his context, New York City, very different from Chattanooga, I get that. But he's learned a lot about being missional, and this is what he says and how the church dynamics work. When at least 20 to 25% of a church's people are engaged in this kind of organic, sort of relational gospel ministry, he says it creates a powerful dynamism that infuses the whole church and greatly extends the church's ability to edify and to evangelize. I would love to see, and I believe it's God's desire, for every member to be in mission. But I'll take a goal just short of that. What if 20 to 25% of us were engaged in relational ministry out there? According to Tim Keller's experience, this becomes the tipping point, kind of the saturation point for that church, at which that church begins to grow in its quality and quantity, begins to be a tide that lifts every other boat. So my friendly challenge to us today, and this will probably be something that our vision team will be thinking about and working on as well, is how do we have more of our members actively engaged in gospel and relational ministry outside of the church? My encouragement to us is that we will consider how God would use us more and more out in our world and gospelizing our community. So would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the love that we have from you through Jesus, a love that has absolutely transformed our lives, our thinking, our values, our relationships, the things that matter to us, and ultimately have changed our eternal destiny. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church even more to be energized, to be encouraged, to go forth from here to gospelize our community and doing relational ministries with others that allow them to have an experience of Jesus as they see you preached and lived out in our lives. Help us to think creatively about what that would look like for us and for our church. And again, bless our vision team to be thinking through what that looks like for our whole church, to be missional, to be a Great Commission church. For your sake and for your glory, and only by your power do we pray. Amen.